today is Richard Edmondson. That's Edmondson. His website is leftwing-christian.net. And he is the author of The Memoirs of St. John, No Greater Love. And it's a novel about the life of Christ as told from the perspective of John, the son of Zebedee, the youngest of the 12 disciples. And I would like to, talk to you about how you wrote that novel, what kind of, what you used as your sources. I'm certain that you probably used scriptures and maybe, Josephus and some other earlier documents and things.
Oh, yeah, well, certainly Josephus, and as well as some modern-day Christian biblical scholars. Raymond E. Brown was one that I relied on quite a bit. N.T. Wright was another. The book was basically, as I say, it tells a story of Jesus, but like you mentioned, it's told from the point of view of John. And it starts off in his early childhood. In a way, though, it's really more John's story, actually, than Jesus. And like I say, it starts off in his early childhood and follows him through his, encounters with, he has problems with a childhood bully, and as well as a number of, other youthful growing up experiences. Family dramas, such as his older sister Susanna's falling in love with a Roman soldier, and that's an episode that kind of becomes a scandal of the entire town, and results in a deep schism within the family as well, since his father Zebedee is a Pharisee, who believes that non-Jews are unclean and that all Gentiles are basically born to be the footstools of the Jews. But then here's his daughter, a young Jewish girl who writes poetry, falling passionately in love with a young Roman soldier by the name of Maximinus, who's been sent, by the way, along with the rest of the Roman 10th Legion to suppress a Jewish uprising. So
interesting.
You can kind of imagine the sparks that fly.
Sure. We do have a bunch of callers lining up.
Okay.
You can call in at 800-313-9443. And that website that I was talking about that Kevin Allen Brook runs is called Kazaria.com, and that's K-H-A-Z-A-R-I-A, Kazaria.com. All righty, let's take real quick Barry in California. Barry, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Diana, and good morning to your guests. Very good guest this morning. Very good topic. You really perked my attention, and I went straight to Matthew 22 and 23. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees are trying to throw Jesus off. And he just got done talking to the Pharisees, and it says in verse 34, 22, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, "What do you think about the Christ, and whose son is he?" And they said to him, "The son of David." And he said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying..." And this is
Barry, hold on. We do have to take a break. Oh. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-5896. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-635-5896. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-635-5896. That's 1-800-635-5896.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough PureEffect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Call now and take one of the most important steps you'll take to a healthier future.
Barry, you were talking about Jesus and that basically he confounded them, and so they quit asking him questions because apparently they really didn't accept or like his answers. And so did you have another comment or question for our guest?
I'm quoting from Psalms 110 verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool. And they didn't want to answer his questions. They didn't want to ask him anymore. And I just want to quote one more thing. In chapter 23, he talks about the Pharisees. He says they love the best places at the feast, the best seats in the synagogue, leading in the marketplace, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not call Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call any more on your earth Father, for one is your Father who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever shall exalt himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. So he's basically telling them, no, it's love, mercy, and grace that we need to be. We need to love one another, and we need to be graceful to one another. We need to show mercy towards one another. But what they did was they put fear in people. They bind them with all kinds of extra things and extra laws and everything. And then in Luke, he tells off the lawyers. He says, well, to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourself, and those were entering into you hindered. So he told off the lawyers, too.
Exactly.
Because they kept the knowledge that we needed to know.
Okay, Richard, respond to Barry.
Yeah, well, I think the point that they're trying, that was being made in Matthew regarding the Psalm 110 was that Psalm was a prophecy of the coming of Jesus. And
right.
that was a very uncomfortable proposition for the Pharisees to have to consider. And another thing, you know, to keep in mind about the Pharisees is that they were proponents of a vast body of rabbinical decrees, which were known at that time as the oral law. And, you know, keep in mind that in Jesus' day, interpretations of Jewish law were for the most part communicated orally. But starting in the third century, early third century, the oral law began to be compiled and methodically written down and preserved. And we know that body of writing today as the Talmud. And, of course, Barry or any of your other listeners can Google the Talmud and find out a whole lot of information about that. What they'll find, of course, is that there's just a pervasive theme of racism and of depicting Gentiles as subhumans. And a lot of what's in the Talmud originated with the Pharisees.
Yeah, so, I also looked up the word Sadducee and Pharisee. And Sadducees, they were they had a conservative outlook and accepted only the written laws of Moses. Many wealthy Jews were Sadducees and sympathized with them. And then on the Pharisee side, Sadducees and Pharisees were comprising of the ruling class of Israel. There were many similarities between the two groups, but importantly, differences between them. And so what they did was they ganged up together to put Christ to death.
Yeah.
Because of his condemnation of their hypocrisy. And they added all these extra stuff, which a lot of it comes out of the Talmud. Then also you have the Kabbalah, which they got when they were in Babylon. They accepted some of the beliefs of their gods that they worship in Babylon.
Yeah. Well, the thing you have to remember about the Pharisees and the Sadducees is there were a lot more similarities between them than differences. And
right.
A lot of the, like you mentioned, the Sadducees tended to be the more wealthy ruling class, while the Pharisees sort of identified with the poor, the common people, or at least professed, you know, to identify with them. And, but like I say, in reality, there were a lot more similarities and differences between them.
Well, the Pharisees were the high priest and the priest sect also.
Right. All righty. Barry, thank you so much for calling. We do have a bunch of other callers
okay.
on the line. So
thank you so much.
Did you have another comment or question?
No, I really appreciate you bringing this out because, I just have one more comment, is that the church is, like, as far as the pastors, like with Paul, he didn't ask for money. He was a tent maker. He had his own profession, and he took care of himself as far as finances, and he had his faith in God. But a lot of these pastors, they get an income from the church, and they have a very high wages coming to them, and they live high in the hog. Well, I don't think they're supposed to be doing that. I think they should be working a regular job, and then they would come together and then teach with the people. But here they have a regular income coming in,
right.
And I don't think that's the way it's supposed to be.
No, I think you're right, Barry.
Okay.
I think it's a slap in the face to God. There's no faith involved in that.
Sure.
Absolutely.
All righty, let's go to Chris Las Vegas. Thanks, Barry. Chris?
Good morning, Deanna and Richard.
Yes. Yes, hi, Chris.
Hello. What a great opportunity to have two great studiers and historians to speak with on one call this morning. There are so many questions and controversies that we find in a lot of these biblical stories, and the real precipitation of them all seems to emanate from the divergent roots of the loins of Abraham, the purported Davidian, and his contributions to two different sectarian groups that emulated from his loins in the eastern tribes and the purported house of David, and the you got Isaac and Jacob of Hagar and Sarai, and it's hard to reconcile these divergent violations of the ancient time-held hereditary rights, which would have given the claim to the firstborn male, although there's these pretensive suggestions that everything is changeable and therefore subject to interpretation by those who chose to write the stories.
Yeah, right. But, you know, I think that was part of what the point that Jesus was trying to make. And, you know, a little bit earlier, I mentioned the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, which I've often referred to as the New Testament's very own doctrine of equality. And the point that's being made is, you know, that we're all equal in the eyes of God. I think this is the point that Jesus is trying to drive home, and that it's not a matter of this tribe or that tribe, but that we're all one tribe. We're all children of God. And if you look at the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, what you'll find there is the first recorded instance of the gospel ever being preached to Gentiles. And Peter has a vision telling him to go to the home of this Roman centurion and Cornelius and preach to him about the gospel of Jesus. And he does that. And in the process, he realizes that all people, he should regard no people as unclean, and that we're all equal.
Well, I generally agree with that specifically, and that is the gospel of the Christ, is that all tribal members have the opportunity to come unto him if they so seek to do so of their own free voluntary will, as opposed to being mandated by the great Satan. But the migration of the Khazarians into the Turkish and Mongolian tribes and their assimilations or miscegenations within those tribes, and then spreading out into other forms and perhaps staying Talmudically connected within those tribes to perpetuate their racial groupings throughout the planet seems to be a very strong source of the problems between good and evil. Those are the only two tribes there really are.
Well, I think Zionism is definitely a very big problem confronting the world today, and the Zionist terrorist state in the Middle East is you know the greatest threat, I think, to world peace right now. And certainly the Khazars, you know, if you go back and study the history of it, they certainly played a very strong role in that.
Well, these are the ones who have changed their names through time, from Sea People to Pharisees to Sadducees to Babylonians, Sumerians, Ebonites, Jebusites, and so on and so forth. They've just done this over and over, and now the Zionists, or whatever else you want to term them, but we're supposed to believe that they're part of the tribe of the chosen of God, when perhaps we don't know which God they're chosen by.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's a good point.
All righty, Chris, thank you so much for calling in and for your contributions. We do have to take a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Sling. Longs are now available for civilian uses. Order yours in camo, black, and any custom unit colors. Call 877-MY-BUNKER, the battle rifle all-purpose carrier. Put your rifle safely where it needs to be, at the ready, for a moment's notice. Your rifle is not leaning on a tree or in your trunk. It's with you when you need it. Rifles or shotguns will fit comfortably and safely in backpack mode, or transition simply to a tactical single-point harness in seconds. Watch a demonstration of the BRAC at 877mybunker.com. The BRAC is American-made with a lifetime guarantee. BRAC fits your rifles or shotguns, 22s, M16s, your M60, even the Barrett 50 Cal, and more. Call 877-MY-BUNKER or go online to 877mybunker.com to see the video. Save 20% now by calling 877-MY-BUNKER. That's 877-692-8653 and mention you heard this ad on RBN. Save 20%. Just mention you heard it on RBN.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out, as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendivite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Your body is constantly fighting off the invaders in the way of bacteria, viruses, pathogens, and so forth. The colder weather is a winter wonderland for these guys. What you need to do all the time, but more so during this season, is to strengthen your immune system. And you can do it with Daniel Chapter 1's A and B Biotropins. Acidophilus and Bifidus from frozen human strain is your frontline defense to the invaders. For years, Daniel Chapter 1's customers have been using A&B Biotropins. They've found that they are so effective, it's common for them to do them regularly to keep their immune systems in tip-top shape. Protect yourself with A&B Biotropins. Call 800-504-5511. That's 800-504-5511. For a discount, use promo code 200A. That's promo code 200A.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Richard Edmondson. His website is leftwing.christian.net. And we have some more callers. Let's take Keith in Indiana. Keith, welcome to the program. Keith? Did Keith hang up? Oh, okay. So let's go on to Dave in North Carolina. Dave,
hello.
Welcome to the...
Hi, Diana. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, thank you so much for this program. It's very informative, and I certainly appreciate your program, Diana.
Thank you.
You know, I'm so glad that he mentioned Zionism and how detrimental it is. The evangelical Christian community has certainly embraced Zionism. What troubles me is you've got so many people depending on pastors to educate them, and they don't read the Bible themselves. Clearly in Galatians 3:28, Paul's saying, look, there is neither Jew nor Greek. It's not a matter of nationality anymore. It's not a nationality issue. It's a belief system issue. It's who you are and what you've chosen to adhere to.
It's what you have in your heart.
Exactly. It's what God puts in your heart by his grace and his mercy. You know, Galatians 3:28, it's right there. You read a careful reading of Romans 9 and 10 clearly teaches that branches have been broken off and replaced with new branches indicating the Gentiles being grafted in. And in 90% of the word Israel in the New Testament refers to the people of God, not a nation. It's not a nation thing. It's talking about the people. You know, there's always been a remnant, and the Bible speaks of remnant, even in the Old Testament, when Moses got on one side of the line and Korah on the other, and he said, okay, guys, you're over there. Those who want to follow me, come over here. And what happened? The earth opened up and swallowed, you know, a huge portion of Israel, the nation. But the remnant, the true believers, were those that, you know, followed God. And that's what the Bible clearly teaches. You know, I was a rabid evangelical right-wing regional director for the New England Christian Coalition and during George Bush II term. But I heard a teaching called The True Israel of God. It could be found at clayvilleassembly.com. And it's a 9-part series called The True Israel of God. And it opened up, it explained to me biblically that there is, you know, when speaking of Israel in the New Testament, it's not a nationality thing. And I would encourage every evangelical who has been confused or at least taught that, you know, in the New Testament, when it talks about Israel, it's talking about, you know, the nation. And it's not. It's talking about a people, a remnant, both Jew and Gentile, that have been called out. And that is the Israel of God that is referenced in Galatians 3:28. So I would encourage, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask Richard to respond. I'm sorry, yeah. I interrupted.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's interesting that you're, you know, that you were right-wing evangelical, as you put it, up until the George Bush II administration, and then you had this change of heart. And I think that's happening nowadays, yeah, to a lot of Christians. And I think increasingly, as the state of Israel grows increasingly delegitimized in the vast, in the eyes of the vast majority of the world's people, I think that process is going to continue to sort of, right, snowball along. And, you know, the thing that, you know, here we're watching what's essentially a kind of like a slow motion genocide of the, mm-hmm, Palestinian people.
Yes.
It's been going on for the past 68 some odd years now. But yet all this time, the Zionists have presented the Jews as the victim. And,
mm-hmm,
it's always been, you know, to present the Jews as the victims. And a while ago, you know, Deanna and I were talking about the passage in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, where in which Jesus refers to this group of Jews that he's having a heated discussion with as children of the devil.
Ooh.
And, you know, Jews have long pointed to this passage from John and blamed it for their troubles down through the centuries. But many people today, are under, I think, the mistaken belief that Christianity somehow caused the rise of anti-Semitism. And in fact, John Hagee, the famous Christians, or maybe I should say infamous Christian Zionist, probably the most prominent Christian Zionist leader in America today, makes this erroneous claim in his book, In Defense of Israel, that it was Christianity that caused the rise of anti-Semitism, and that's just a totally erroneous claim. In the ancient world, there were views antagonistic toward Jews that were harbored long before Christianity even came into being, at least some 400 years or more.
All righty, we do have to take a quick 3-minute break. We'll pick this up on the other side of the break, so stay tuned.
Thank you, Diana.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Do you need that sustained boost of energy, but want a more natural way of attaining it without the jolt and crash or the jitters you get from coffee and energy drinks? Zoom Tea is the healthy, sugar-free pick-me-up for body, mind, and soul. Does your coffee help you with weight control, mental clarity, anti-cancer properties, or give you an immune system boost? How about helping to stabilize your blood pressure, reduce your cholesterol, and increase your regularity? Now you can have all these health benefits with Zoom Tea. Check out ZoomTea.com or call our friendly staff at 575-936-7000. That's 575-936-7000. A one-month supply of Zoom Tea is only $20, and you get free shipping. Add chai seed to your order for only $12.95 to increase your benefits. Go to ZoomTea.com. That's ZoomTea.com to learn more.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Deanna, and my guest today is Richard Edmondson. His website is leftwing-christian.net, and we do have more callers. Let's take Keith in Indiana. Keith, welcome to the program.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me this time?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, hello to both of you.
Hi.
I get a little stressed out because I've been studying the law and the Bible for many years. And I do the word searches, and I do the proofs. We are to prove all things. Let me start with a simple one. There were no Jews in the 15th century B.C. Jew refers to those of the house of Judah. There was no house of Judah till 930 B.C., and the word Jew, the name for those of the house of Judah, doesn't appear till the reign of Pekah, which was after 740 B.C. So these were not Jews that were wandering in the wilderness. They were Israelites, one people, one nation. Secondly, Deuteronomy 7:6 says he did choose Israel to be a people above all people of the earth. There is no equality. That's right from Satan and the Talmud. That's what they want you to believe. Third, when you talk about Numbers 22, you got to read all the way to 31. These were Midianites. Their judgment came because they were serving the gods of the Moabites. But their judgment was not complete. He spared some of the children of the women who had not known a man. He did not do that on his judgments on the Canaanites, the seed of the serpent. He said, destroy every man, woman, and child. You can find many examples in the history going through it. Secondly, it's not the Torah. That's a Hebrew word for law. It's the Pentateuch, the first five books. Thirdly, I can identify and tell you exactly who the Gentiles are by proof in nine verses. I mean, if Paul's an apostle to the Gentiles, don't you think he knew who he's appointed to? In Romans 9, 24 to 26, he takes us to the book of Hosea, and he identifies the Gentiles as being the house of Israel. Romans 9:25 is a quote from Hosea 2:23. Romans 9:26 is a quote from Hosea 1:10. And if you just go back to Hosea 1:4-7, it'll show you the Gentiles are the house of Israel, the Jews are the house of Judah. If you read Esther chapter 2, Mordecai is a Benjamite, rightly called a Jew, because Benjamin's part of the house of Judah. Let me sum it up and make it simple. When Israel came out in the Exodus, they were one nation, one people. They didn't have a king till about 1050 B.C. under Saul. They went for the first three kings, 120 years after Solomon, the kingdom was divided. So one people became one kingdom, then became two kingdoms. 190 years later, 740 B.C., God divorced the house of Israel. He said, you will not be my people. My people is always Israel. He divorced them. They were cut off and without hope. When he died, he redeemed them too, along with the house of Judah. That's Ezekiel 37. He made the two sticks one new stick. You find this in Ephesians, many other places in the Bible. Paul was an apostle unto the Gentiles, the house of Israel, though he himself was of the house of Judah, because he was a Benjamite. If you look up the words neighbor, kinsman, and brother, you'll find out this all pertains to Israel according to the flesh. Just as Paul, inspired by God, wrote in one sentence, in Romans 9 again, verse 3 to 5, the covenants pertain to Israel according to the flesh. The only people called the children of God are the children of Israel. The other people of the earth are his creation. He doesn't hate them, but they're not his children. There is no universalism that's true. The false universal Christianity is Satan worship. That's the god of this world. That's why we're under a curse of God right now. Now there's
Okay, Richard, would you like to comment?
Well, that's a lot of material to cover there. I would certainly concur with what he says about there having been no Jews. Abraham himself was not a Jew. There were no Jews at the time of Abraham, and certainly I think he's correct on that. One thing that occurs to me is, you know, you look at the parable of the Good Samaritan, which I think probably all of, out of all the many parables that, that Jesus told, I think the parable of the Good Samaritan is probably the one that would have infuriated the Jewish, establishment, more so than any. And of course, what you have there you know, a man getting waylaid by robbers, and you know, he's left to die basically on the side of the road. Well, a priest and a Levite come along, and they see him lying there. But you know, rather than stop to help him or even to see if he's even alive or dead, they cross to the other side of the road. You know, apparently fearing he's unclean or something, and just pass on and leave him lying there. Well, finally, a Samaritan comes down the road and stops and cares for the man, binds up his wounds, takes him to an inn, and even pays the innkeeper to continue to look after him. So that's the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the reason
I say about that? Can I say something about that?
Yeah, sure.
There were many Israelites living in Samaria. Read Acts 8, 1 through 5. When the persecution arose, all the saints in Jerusalem were scattered abroad throughout Judea and throughout Samaria. There were many Israelites. They had a nationalistic hatred between Judea and Samaria. And
yeah, well, that's the point I was getting to, is that there was this long simmering hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans.
Right, let me try another one. You said that the Torah forbids usury. Deuteronomy 23:20. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury. That word stranger is nokri. If you look it up, it's number 5237. It's one of another race. So no, usury is not forbidden. Usury among the brethren is forbidden. That's a very important point. This Bible is written to Israel, for Israel, and about Israel, and they're so confused over the name Jew and the word Gentile, they can never understand. I offered to do it for you when you called me, Deanna. I can do the proofs and show you the law. But, you know, you never called back, so.
I thought we had a conversation about this.
But you don't understand it. You're not a covenant believer. This is First Commandment.
Well, that you mean that I'm not an understander according to what you believe?
No, you're assuming you can interpret it. It must be proven. The law is written to be understood and proven. When you say that God has the same relationship with all people of the earth, that's universalism. That's the lie. That's outside the First Commandment.
Talking about religion can be very volatile, very controversial. And what you believe might be something that you embrace totally. But yeah. I have a love for everyone, and that's something that I embrace.
Yeah, but the Bible's not written to everyone. It's written to the children of Israel. I'll make a new covenant.
Okay, but that's your interpretation, Keith, and thank you so much for calling in. I think that we just need to go on to other callers, because I don't think that your comments are going to go anywhere here. So thank you very much for calling in. Okay, let's go to Arthur in Georgia. Arthur?
Good afternoon, madam, sir.
Yes, hello.
Very, very interesting conversation. Unfortunately, Ms. Fingal, I don't get to listen to your show too often. I'm generally not even home during this point. But I do try to catch you when I can. I'm kind of curious, sir. Have you ever heard of an individual named Michael L. Rodkinson? I'm sorry, I speak a little funny because I have a speech impediment from an incident last year.
Michael L. Rodkinson?
Yeah, Rodkinson.
No, I don't believe I've heard the name.
Well, he did a piece. It's called The Babylonian Talmud, and it's dated 1918.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the entire, I've got the entire PDF. It's like 10.7 megabytes.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I am familiar with that. That's actually online.
Right.
I've seen it on the Internet before, yeah.
What did you think about that?
Well, it doesn't seem to be, I mean, his take on the Talmud, I mean, he just basically quotes what he says is written in the Talmud. And there's been criticism that maybe he didn't quote it exactly, because it doesn't play up the, or it seems to gloss over, maybe would be the way to say it, the racism and the Jewish supremacism that's expressed in the Talmud. And certainly my reading of his work online, I haven't read the whole thing, but you would be kind of hard-pressed to find any reference to that in his translation of the Talmud.
Okay, I was just kind of curious what you thought of that. I found it was an interesting read, but I kind of walked away after it, just kind of feeling like there was just a lot left out. Like, I really didn't come away feeling like I really learned anything relevant, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, see, that's been the criticism of his particular work. And like I say, when I the portions of it that I read definitely seem to have omitted references to the more famous quotes that come from the Talmud that a lot of us are aware of today, like it's okay for a Jew to swindle or steal from a Gentile and stuff like that. You don't seem to find that in Rodkinson's translation.
Right, or like it's okay to push a non-Jew into a hole and you can throw a boulder over top of it so he doesn't escape. I didn't find any of this kind of stuff in there, and that's what I found was disturbing, you know, about this. And I think Reverend Ted Pike, I think, has probably done some of the best work, I think, on discussing the Talmud.
Mm-hmm. I have read a little bit of his stuff. I'm definitely interested in reading more from him.
Yeah,
I have come across
also,
some of his articles online.
Right, and there's also another very interesting book which I thoroughly enjoyed, which was it was a book written by an individual, 1896, was Theodore Herzl.
Theodore Herzl?
Herzl, I'm sorry.
Founder of Zionism.
Right, and the book is called Der Judenstaat, or translated, The Jewish State.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting book. I would recommend, you know, for anybody who's not read it, this is a very interesting book, and I would definitely recommend that.
Okay.
It helps to give us a clear understanding how this so-called Jewish state came about.
Right.
It goes back before the creation of Israel, but I came away with an understanding that most Jewish people, not talking about Zionist Jews, but just Jewish in general, see themselves more as not a religion or a state, but a culture.
Right, yeah. Secular Jews, basically, you aren't religious.
Right. Anyway, I just...
if you read some of Gilad Atzmon's write on the Internet, it's a very tribal-oriented culture. You know, you're expected to toe the line and express loyalty to the tribe.
Right.
And if you don't, you get in trouble like Gilad Atzmon, run afoul of the Zionist thought police, I guess, for better expression. Many, and they've tried to down his concerts and so on and so forth.
Right. I've covered
a lot of this about the Zionist
history in my current writing project, in Herzl and his interaction with the people in the Ottoman Empire. It's a very interesting history.
Okay, yeah, I would like to read some of that.
Arthur, I interrupted you.
Throw that out, see what you thought, and see if I was just like the only one feeling this way or not.
Thank you for
taking my call, and again, very interesting show, madam. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Arthur.
Thank you.
I think that what Keith was trying to say, he seems to be saying that we are all under condemnation because we are not obeying God's laws of exceptionalism. Is that what you got out of that?
I don't know. I mean, I was having a hard time following exactly what he was saying. I mean, he seemed to be saying, yeah, that on the one hand, but then he was saying, you know, that the Jews were, I don't know, it seemed like the point he was trying to make was that Jews didn't exist until a certain date, and then, which is true, and that there were no Jews up until, the time of the Babylonian exile.
Right, what, 587 or 588?
Yeah, 586, I think, and lasted, I think, until 538. And then all of a sudden there were Jews, and they came back and settled in Israel and settled alongside the Samaritans. And that was one of the points I was going to try to make about the Samaritans, is that there was this long simmering hatred when the Jews came back from their exile in Babylonia. The dominant language of the region was Aramaic, which was the native language of Syria, which is where all these, foreigners had immigrated from in the absence of the Jews who were living there before they were carried off into exile. And that sort of reflects kind of what's going on today between, the hatred for the Palestinians today is very similar to the hatred of the Jews felt towards the Samaritans in the first century. And there's a quote that comes out of the Talmud that was a first century rabbinical thing that a piece of bread given by a Samaritan is more unclean than swine's flesh.
Wow.
And that comes straight out of the Talmud. And that's a very racist quote.
Right.
Obviously. And that's why I say the parable of the Good Samaritan would have infuriated the Jewish establishment, probably more so than any other parable Jesus told. That gets
right.
back to the point I was making about, you know, him being a rebel against Jewish supremacy. Supremacism.
Right. All righty, we do have to go to a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Our guest today has been Richard Edmondson. His website is leftwing-christian.net. We do have one more caller on the line. Did you want to make a few comments, finish up your comments from before the break, before we take the caller?
No, that's, you know, you can go ahead and take the caller. That's fine.
All righty. Let's take Glenn in Philadelphia.
Hello, Deanna. Hi. What's your guest name?
It's Richard.
Richard. Hi, Richard. Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, it's interesting. Just two quick points. Well, I can make a couple. First of all, about their caller, Keith. He's a frequent caller. If you had given him enough time to hawk his wares, he would have gotten around to the point that the gospel is really to the white race. He peddles a very pernicious white race version of the gospel, and he would have gotten around to telling you why the gospel is really, that Israel is really the white race. And he's on Rick Adams frequently, calls in a lot of different shows, and if he's got his own little doctrinal shtick. Now, I will agree with one thing, and that is that we are not all children of God. We are to love. The great commandment is certainly to love God and, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, love our neighbor as ourselves. And in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free. But that's in Christ. We are to love our neighbor. And neighbor is the all-inclusive term, okay? And certainly God loves all his creatures, and Christ died, and he's able to save unto the uttermost all who call upon his name. Okay, but we're not all brothers and sisters until, you know, we're brothers and sisters with those who are in Christ and who have God as their father. Siblings have a common father, common parentage, okay? And if
right.
God isn't your parent, then you're not brothers and sisters. But they are. Everybody is our neighbor, and we are to love our neighbors, including, it means everyone. So I certainly wouldn't say we're all brothers and sisters. We're all loved by God, even in our fallen, sinful state. When we're redeemed in faith in Christ, then we have God as our Father, and it's those who are our brothers and sisters.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and one other thing. I originally heard early in the call about the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. That issue's a bit more complex. I didn't know if maybe we'd want to get into the details, but I followed the Temple Mount faithful and the Temple Institute stuff for a long time. They are one particular group. They're highly activist, you know, religious group, but they do not have, like, complete rubber stamp affirmation of the government or the rabbinate. And every year they would bring a cornerstone up to the Temple Mount in a truck, and they would be turned away by the government lest they created an international incident, because the Temple Mount is controlled by the Muslim Authority called the Vox. And and also on the Temple Mount, the location of it's not at all determined that it would be necessary to knock down the Dome of the Rock at all, because there are at least three different sites considered by reputable scholars as potential locations for the Holy of Holies. Okay, and, you know, for example, one of them is the Dome of the Tablets. There's a little dome on top of the Temple Mount called the Dome of the Tablets.
Glenn, we are quickly running out of time.
In other words,
I would refer you to a post on my website. It's entitled, Does Israel Plan Destruction of the Dome of the Rock? And it's an article that was written by Roy Toth, a former member of the Israeli military who now lives in exile.
Right.
And
well,
he brings up...
I would suggest that those plans may exist, but they may be thwarted. The New Testament says... that it will be given over.
Gentlemen, we've run out of time. I'm sorry. thank you, Richard, for being on the program.
Thank you, Deanna. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Okay, talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye. I'll be subbing for John later on today, so tune in.